Hi, you are listening to CKUT Radio 90.3 on your FM dial in Montreal, Quebec, and I am pleased to be joined this afternoon by Ms. Helen Thomas. Good afternoon, Ms. Thomas.
Good afternoon.
And I wanted to begin this discussion by getting a little bit of a historical perspective from you, and I wanted to ask you where you were on December 7th, 1941, and how did that event affect your life at that time?
I was in Detroit with my family. And it was a Sunday morning, and we got a phone call from a very close friend whose son was in Honolulu at Pearl Harbor at the time, and he was injured, and she notified. But, I mean, we had the radios on and so forth. And, of course, we knew that our world had changed totally.
And how about 9/11? Where were you on 9/11?
I was in my office in Washington here, about a block away from the White House.
From your perspective, did you have the same feeling when both those events happened? Can you remember back in 1941? Did you have that?
I certainly did not have the same feeling. I think in Pearl Harbor we knew it was going to be a big, big war. Hitler was on the march. We knew the Japanese had been preparing for war and so forth. So the magnitude, when the plane hit the World Trade Center, we had no idea of what it was all about. And the first thought is it was a terrible accident. In fact, I was filing a wire for UPI when a plane hit the Empire State Building years and years ago. So wasn't that startling to me until in less than an hour, things began to really gel and develop.
Now, through the Freedom of Information Act, we've come to know certain things about Pearl Harbor, and one of those things was the McCollum Memo, which was written on October 7th, 1940, and it said if by these means Japan could be led to commit an overt act of war, so much the better. In 2003, about 50% or a little over 50% of New Yorkers were polled and said that perhaps the U.S. knew about 9/11. Are you of that camp where do you believe that the U.S. might have known something about 9/11 before it happened?
No. I do believe that certainly there was when Clinton left office and his people, basically Madeleine, our Secretary of State, and Madeleine Albright, exactly, and others warned the Bush administration about terrorism and that it could be the top of their agenda. They sort of ignored it. They had another agenda, which was to invade Iraq at some point, I guess.
So do you,
No, I don't believe the American people had any concept.
Okay. The American government?
The government itself, I don't believe that. No, I think there were lots of warnings. It's always the question of it might have been. There were many warnings about Pearl Harbor, but the Army wasn't talking to the Navy, and cables that were sent to the State Department never got to the White House. Very vital. Where everybody in every embassy probably in Tokyo, from the kitchen on, knew the Japanese were going to attack. In fact, our people, State Department people, even got word from in the embassy, American embassy, got word basically that the Japanese were thinking in terms of December 41. But many a slip. And in fact, the ambassador, Joseph Grew, our ambassador at that time to Japan, was even warned by the Peruvian minister that an attack was being planned, and he cabled State Department, "I give this no credence."
Okay.
So it's always a question of it might have been, and the crossed wires. There were a lot of people in FBI and so forth who were attuned to this. Lots of cables that didn't get read in time.
What, in your opinion, is the most significant political event in your lifetime, or can you name that?
Significant political event. I think Great Depression and World War II.
The Great Depression?
And World War II.
Were you affected directly by the Great Depression?
Every family in America was.
Yeah. You were writing for your high school newspaper, is that correct?
Yes.
And were you covering events like that in your newspaper?
No, not really. But we certainly were aware that the world was changing and turning. And, we were, the storm was coming.
Okay. I'm just going to ask your opinion on something. Do you believe the Iraq War is a criminal act?
I can't. I'm not a lawyer. I do think that there would be some sort of tension probably in terms of how you interpret the UN Charter, which says self-defense is when you are attacked or you go to the aid of a country with whom you have a treaty. So, in fact, I don't think there's been any apology, basically, but our part was a preemptive move.
Has it made the U.S. less safe, do you believe, or...?
Well, obviously, I think that when you put your finger in the hornet's nest and stir up something that was pretty quiet, I mean, the Iraqis did nothing to us. I think you certainly invite a lot of antagonism, obviously,
okay.
Hostility.
Now, the White House has been caught paying reporters, planting reporters in the press corps. Speaking of somebody like a Jeff Gannon. Feeding propaganda to the New York Times, paying to have propaganda put in the Iraqi newspapers. Has this level of information control existed before in your lifetime?
Not that I know of. I think it's been horrendous. And I'm not saying it didn't exist, certainly not to that extent, and certainly not as transparent or as exposed.
Were you ever approached by anybody who may have wanted to pass on information that you knew was maybe dubious?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'm afraid I'm not that kind of a conduit or a pipeline for anyone.
Okay. You've been in the White House press corps for a long time. When the Jeff Gannon scandal broke, did you already have an idea of something was not quite right with Jeff Gannon?
No. All I knew is that he was... teacher's pet, and basically they were calling on him. He could count on his softball questions, but I didn't know the extent of being, his role.
Was there any talk maybe of, he has been shown to that he was a male prostitute. Is there any possible affair that may have been happening with him and somebody inside the White House?
I haven't heard of anything like that. All I know is that we, from the press standpoint, we felt it was, either you're legitimate and you are accredited, you really are working for a newspaper or broadcast station eight hours a day and so forth. And that's the accreditation. Otherwise, no, nothing else. I haven't heard of anything else.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean anything, I mean, I'm not around to hear all the gossip.
Right. In your long time covering the White House, which administration do you believe was perhaps the most honest or the most forgiving, giving as far as information goes?
None.
They've all been... They've all tried
well,
to
this
hide.
Well, this is the worst, though. This is the most secretive.
It's the most dishonest?
Everything. Well, it's very difficult. A lie is a lie, false pretenses. And so they've all, nobody's been perfect in this White House. But I think it's more so now because I think too many reasons were given to go to war with Iraq that were false. And they wanted a war. They were able to fix the books.
Okay.
As the Downing Street memo shows.
Right. When you are conversing with the White House press secretary, it seems to me that you are perhaps the only one that's actually... trying to get real information out of these people. the only one that's really pressing this this administration for information. Is there anybody else in the White House press corps that you say that you think is really pressing to try and get real information from this administration?
Well, I'm really the enfant terrible because I guess I have nothing really to lose in terms of corporate head on my head. From 9/11 on, the reporters, I think, felt the onus of being patriotic or not being called unpatriotic and un-American, especially for briefings that were televised. They didn't want to rock the boat, and I think they were fearful. They got all started wearing flags. And then it segued into the war, where if you ask a tough question, you're jeopardizing the troops and you're not loyal and so on. So I think that was a shadow or cloud that was over the head of all the reporters. And they pulled their punches. They never should have. They should have been challenging. I truly believe that if they had asked the questions, they should have been asked for the proof, we would not have been in this war. But time has passed now, and I do think they're coming out of their coma. And I do believe that Katrina, the hurricanes and so forth, gave them a little more license to be good and better reporters. And they basically got the word from their, I'm talking mainly about broadcasters, got the word that they could be, they could show some emotion and really dig in.
Do any of the other reporters come to you and ask you for advice?
Hell no.
No.
No, they I'm the pariah.
Oh no. You're like the idol, I think, no. For the rest of us. I don't know. Have you ever walked out of a press briefing?
No, I've been once Scott McClellan, the press secretary, the president, basically indicated that I could leave. You know, I said, no, it's my house too.
Oh, really?
I pay taxes. You're a public servant. You're
exactly.
Serving me.
Exactly.
I'm teasing, but
now answer my questions, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. No, I believe in bumping up against them. I think it's our one role. It's our one duty. It's our responsibility to make them accountable and make them uncomfortable.
I wanted to ask you really quick. I read on the internet, so that's why I wanted to ask you. I wanted to make sure it was correct. Did you leave UPI because Reverend Moon was the owner of the company that bought it in 2000?
I thought it was a bridge too far.
Yeah? Okay. If you were asked, would you work for CNN or another 24 Hours News Network?
Sure, but I like my job.
Yeah.
For the first time, I can say what I think. I worked for a wire service for more than 50 years with just the facts, bam. You know, I mean, he said, he added, and that didn't mean I never bowed out of the human race. I always permitted myself to think, to care, to believe, but it never got in my copy as a wire service. I never could and never should. But now I write an opinion column, and I really go for broke.
Well, I know, and I enjoy it, so keep it up. My last question was, you've written three books. You've served as a reporter in the White House for a long, long time. Now you're a columnist. What has Helen Thomas not done that she wishes she could do or she will do?
I love being a journalist. I love being nosy all my life. And I love the news, and I do feel that I've been so lucky to pick a profession where I could really exercise a lot of independence and keep learning and education every day.
Okay. Well, I thank you, and I'm glad I'm going to be able to read your column from now on. It's just wonderful what you're writing and what you're doing. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.